You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Aaron, open your mic. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
You just blew my mind.
Tinfoil hat.
And welcome to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. Thank you guys for tuning in. You know who I am. This is XG as always. How are you, buddy?
Good. And you?
Doing well, man. Crazy week. Last week's episode with Henry went over amazing. Everybody really seemed to love him. Not really, but it was happens, dude. I won't let this show be an echo chamber. I just can't let it, dude. I won't let it. It's not. I'm not interested in just one side or the other side. I like to hear both sides. So I'm gonna get liberals on here. I'm gonna get conservatives on here because I think that's.
But they ended
the world.
They ended up loving the Colbert one.
Yeah, well,
come on, you gave him back to back.
Colbert is the shit. Then, yeah. I mean, if you're gonna listen to anybody, that's the guy. But thank you for the kind words. Thank you for tuning in. Today's episode is brought to you by Ridge Wallet. That's right, Ridge Wallet is a minimalist front pocket wallet that helps you reevaluate your everyday carry. Launched by a father and son team and funded by Kickstarter in 2013, Ridge Wallet now resides in the pockets of over 250,000 men and women. The radio frequency identification blocking wallet is made of 2 metal plates, either titanium, carbon fiber, aluminum, and bound by a durable elastic band, right? Because, you know, guys, we carry the big wallets. We like to keep everything in that. Condoms, if you use them. Parking tickets, you name it. It's in there. It's just huge. This helps you minimalize it. And they do. This isn't just my mother talking. There are people who are jacking your information off your credit cards, trying to use it. And my credit shit show, so enjoy it. Enjoy all my credit. Feel free to get nothing with my credit. I can't get anything. See how you could do with it. So our friends, they want to do a special deal with you guys. You go to the URL. It is ridgewallet.com/tinfoilhat. Use the promo code TFH10 and get 10% off of all of your sales. And it's worldwide free shipping. Yeah, man. It's all over the place. So you can get it. They've been very cool with us. I have one at home. I use it myself, and it's a great product for the zombie apocalypse. And you're going to need that wallet when those black zombies are hauling. Because who needs zombies who have Twitch fiber, okay? Who needs zombies who run 7.4340s? Nobody. And you know that's a joke from my new special, Zero Fucks. Go to vimeo.com/on-demand/Zero Fucks. I'm live from the Viper Room, and it's wonderful. You guys are buying it. I'm very thankful. Just check it out. It's $2.99 owned, $1.99 to buy. And it's been going really well. The feedback is great. And I'm very excited that you guys like it. And then around December 14th, we're dropping the second part, part 2. It's like Kill Bill 1, Kill Bill 2. We're going to drop number 2. And that is Armageddon. And that will be out. And that's more the political side of all my shit talking. So, yeah, man. I mean, I am hawking products right now, dude. Hawking products. And that's about it. Check out all the dates, too. Final thing. New date, Tinfoil Hat, Eddie Bravo, myself, will be at Tinfoil Hat Live at Zany's in Chicago, December 15th at 11 p.m. You can go to zanies.chicago.com, zanies.com, and grab those tickets. Eddie Bravo, myself, we have a couple buddies popping in on that. It's 2 hours of conspiracies. Eddie Bravo doing stuff about drunk Mexican jokes. You know, me talking about how crazy the world is, and then we do your Q&A with you guys at the end. Anything goes, any questions, and then we can all get Eddie stoned and see fucking what kind of damage we can cause going to Chicago. With that, I'm very happy to bring on our guest today. He's doing a little book tour. He's in all the big ones. His book is called The Rise and Fall and Rise Again of Radio's Most Notorious Shock Jock. Please welcome Anthony Cumia.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, dude. It's a real honor to have you on, dude.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man.
It's very cool, man. I like this. Studio's nice.
It's nice, dude. I'm blessed.
It's nice being out in California. You're out here. You're not in New York.
So it's this weird kind of like you got to give and take something. You got to take the L.A. people with the L.A. weather, or you go get the New York people with the New York weather.
Yeah. People bitch about California all the time being, you know, the People's Republic of California and all that. But New York's no better. No better. And in some ways worse.
How is it worse?
The gun laws are ridiculous in New York. And I know they're crazy out here, too. But I hear some stuff about California. I'm like, really? Because we can't even do that or get that. The new thing in New York, they're trying to pass legislation so if you want to get a pistol license, which, of course, in New York, you need a license for a pistol. They want to be able to check 3 years into your social media history. So, and your search history. They want to be able to look at what you search out, what you see, what you've posted. And if they deem that some kind of hate speech is on there or stuff, they will deny you the purchase and exercising of your Second Amendment right. Insanity going on in New York
Hair
Cuomo.
Here's my whole thing, dude. We are in trouble. This country is basically being destroyed by trust fund kids. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
It's like all these Hollywood people that you see promoting all this shit. It's all trust fund kids.
Yeah.
And their dads all made money in the stuff they're telling us not to fucking get into, whether it's guns or fucking immigration or war. Their fucking dads made tons of money in it. They all live behind fucking gated communities with fucking security guards.
Yeah.
And they're telling you not to carry fucking guns.
That's why they hate it. That's typical. It's been this way for millennia. The kid hating their parents, hating what they do. So they rebel against it by doing exactly what is the opposite of what their parents did.
But they still take their dad's money, their cash, their lifestyle, and all that shit.
Got to eat. Got to have a phone.
Yeah, everything's you do it. You don't do this. You don't carry guns. You don't.
But we can do this.
We're going to do whatever the fuck we want to.
Yeah, yeah. That seems to be the modus operandi over there of the trust kids. Yeah, they want to do away with everything that they have. A lot of times, too, you get the rich Hollywood elite.
For sure.
They're also the same thing. They want they've built up their fortune. They built up their power base. They have the ability to tell people how they should and shouldn't live their lives. And that's when they want it all cut off.
Yeah.
They say, now we need socialism. And now we need censorship. Say, oh, after you got yours.
Dad made money off of war.
Right, right.
And pain and suffering.
Yeah.
Now you want to end it.
Now you're ready to settle in behind your walls and your armed guards and all the money you could possibly need. So, yeah, screw them.
I was just, I was watching Emmys, and I'm just like, this is just a trust fund kid award show.
Yeah, trust fund kid propaganda show.
They're either Yale, Harvard, Georgetown. They're all just the Ivy League motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And their dad made tons. I mean, like, if you looked into some of these guys and how much fucking their dads are involved in some shady ass shit, and now they're all theater kids. You know, and they're like the one theater kid out of all their siblings who the rest go into the fucking racketeering and all that fucking shit.
Yeah.
And but they're sitting there telling you shouldn't get guns and do all that shit. And it just blows my fucking mind out of this town. I mean, like, and then you look at the history of people taking guns, man. You look at the history of it. Russia, China, dude, there's like they took the guns and then there was mass slaughtering.
Oh, yeah. But that will always follow taking people's guns.
Always.
Because it's very hard to do when the people have guns to right. slaughter them. It's a fair fight. So, you know,
which
in,
is a big
a way,
reason but... why, you know, you don't see a lot of people attacking America. Yes, we have this great, you know, military, which is awesome. But we also, they know they're going to have to go door to door.
Yeah, yeah. What did the Japanese say in World War II about attacking the yeah. American mainland? There's an American with a rifle behind every blade of grass.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that would be suicide.
And, so, you know, I mean, this is a conspiracy podcast, so we get into deep stuff. Whether it's 9/11 or you're getting into, like, all these shootings. You had Bill Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse, called out all this shit, and they're just getting emotional responses. Like, dude, if they really want, why doesn't any of these guys ever go shoot up the Westboro Baptist Church? Why doesn't anyone go crazy and just go on a shooting spree and shoot all those motherfuckers? Well, it's because there's no high emotional impact if you shoot them. You may
right,
actually,
people would be like, oh, cool. Finally, someone shot those people. Yeah. They need it to be just an epic, sad scene. You need something that's tragic and terrible. And that's what you usually get. With
I don't want prayers. I want gun regulators. Like, what a weird thing to just shout at that moment.
Just look at the camera and shout that. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, boy.
And then they do research, and she's this woman named Lobster Girl. Did you see that? They're all actors. They all have IMDBs, and it's like weird fucking shit, right? It's just – and you're like, what the fuck? But I want to get into your history because, obviously, you know, the radio business. Is radio doing well? Is radio dying? Is radio – growing? Is it what's going on with
yeah
radio?
Terrestrial radio, as they call it, you know, FM AM yeah. radio. I think its death has been spelt out over decades and decades. Television and then satellite radio, but I think in a way it's always going to be there. But as far as how relevant it is at any given moment, I can't imagine it's any less relevant at any time previously to right now. It's terrible. No one's allowed to do or say anything on the platforms. What you have is a company that used to be like a mom and pop. I worked for so many radio stations that you met the guy that owned the radio company, Bob's Radio Company. Right. And you'd go in there and he'd be like, I'm all about talent. Go in there and knock them dead. And you would. And if you got in trouble, he'd be behind you. You
They're
know,
all owned by iHeart.
Yeah, now everything's owned by iHeart.
iHeart runs the whole radio.
Yeah,
radio
they run stage. Everything.
Cubius, yeah. Cubius?
Cumulus.
The yeah, they are.
I was working for CBS Radio, they were also owned by another company that owned like Procter & Gamble and yeah. stuff. So like if I fucked up on the air, they couldn't sell diapers. So that's going to kind of put a little kibosh on what you can get away with
right,
on the air.
Right.
You got lawyers now that are yelling at you. So now they just sit you down and go, hey, read this liner about what we're doing this weekend. We're going to count down the top 1,000 songs. And that's it. Don't talk. We don't want to hear your opinions on anything because it can only get us in trouble. So you're not really getting edgy radio these days.
Right.
Satellite turned out to be the same thing. I was like, oh, okay. Well, we got fired from regular radio. We're persona non grata there. But at least we go into satellite radio, more freedom. Where we sit down and it's like, oh, it's the same thing. It's a company, a corporation. They have stockholders. They have a board. And they have people to tell you, don't do that. Don't talk about that. So unless you really do it yourself, you are always going to be under someone's umbrella that's going to tell you, shut up, don't talk about that, keep this, these are very sensitive issues. And it's abominable these days. They're silencing people.
You're doing my other podcast tomorrow, which we're excited to have you on that, Punch Drunk. And we always get these reads, and we do these reads, and we inevitably just go off on them. And just like we just do, and our listeners love it. But occasionally we'll get the one person complaining
yeah.
that it's tarnishing the brand, their brand. And I go, but you want our listeners to buy it, and this is what they're coming for.
Yeah.
The laugh that they associate with this read is what they'll look into it. And it's like so interesting because, you know, podcasts took away the middleman. It became peer-to-peer,
yeah.
and that's why it's unfiltered. And the more unfiltered, the better it is. When you put a suit there, you know, you see this in comedy clubs. Like, there's comedy clubs out there where it's like they hire guys who are like food and beverage at a TGI Fridays, becomes manager of the club, and he's deciding talent.
Yeah. and they don't have a clue.
You like Nickelback, dude. You don't get it all. It's all the same thing. It's always this fucking, this white guy who just doesn't get it, man. He likes it safe. And that's not art.
It's not art. It's not comedy. And it's detrimental to everything that I've grown up enjoying and doing. I've always loved irreverent comedy, cutting edge, horrible stuff. Jokes about horrible things are some of the funniest things I've ever done. Me and Jim Norton, who of course was on the O&A show with us, me and Jimmy would end up going on a tear about, you know, Lacey Peterson and Scott Peterson murdered him.
Yeah.
And that was like a half hour of us crying laughing because we were making jokes about such a horrible event. And people don't understand that. They look at it as if you wrote it down in on a piece of paper and handed it to somebody without the ability to decipher sarcasm or parody or satire in that. And they read it at face value and go, oh, my God, what horrible human beings.
Yeah.
Nothing's taken in the context of entertainment anymore.
And they think it's petty. Like, comedy has to be patty cakes. Like, if you're making fun of something, that means you're shitting on it, right? Like, and this punching up and punching down. And it's white bullshit. Chicks love to tell you, punch up. I mean, white women love to use buzzwords like fucking white privilege and mansplaining that they all hear on MSNBC. They just throw it out when they're out of arguments, man. It's like, and it's like, oh, punch it. You don't know me, man. Where am I punching from? You don't know where I'm fucking punching from.
They want to believe, and they want everyone else to believe, that if you make a joke about something or someone or a group of people or a religion, whatever it may be, that you're advocating for violence against that group. And there could be nothing further than the truth. It's just funny. It's always been funny. Jokes over centuries have been tasteless and based on race and sexuality and stuff, and they're always just naturally, I think it's in our DNA that we find something like that funny. And the fact that they're trying to take that away and trying to say, we're better than this. No, we're not.
Yeah.
We are human beings. We like heinous things sometimes. We like laughing at somebody who's a little more unfortunate than us. Maybe it makes us feel better. Maybe it's just funny to see someone fall down. It's always been, you know, the first films I think about comedy, they silent movies show someone fall down, everyone laughs.
Yeah.
It's just in us that it's funny. And to try to make it seem like we're better than that is complete bullshit.
I've heard people say you shouldn't laugh at people that fall. Or that person got hurt. Right, don't laugh. Right. I'm like,
sometimes, you
unless
know.
Unless they didn't die or they're not in the hospital, I think it's fucking funny.
Someone slipping on the ice, there will never be a more funny, spontaneous thing that could possibly happen in front of you at any given moment.
And then that person and the next person comes by. Oh. You've seen those videos on YouTube where
you're laughing your ass off
after the next. Yeah. You're like, dude, come on.
How about the 78 car crash? Like, how does 78, like,
who's
like
78?
60? Aren't you like, right, dude, let's break for this shit, right? So your book is The Rise and Fall and the Rise Again of the Radio's Most
Permanently Suspended.
Permanently Suspended. Yeah. Tell us a little about it.
It's pretty much the history of me getting into the radio business with a little bit of my childhood in there, because I think I needed to let people know where I came from and how I turned out to be the fucked up individual I am. And then the radio part of the business end of it and all the bullshit that goes along with, and the movement towards censorship. And the fact that we got away with some stuff on terrestrial radio, that was the FCC was the big thing you had to worry about.
When did it change? Around when? Was it the consolidation of all the media and therefore the controlling of the message?
Big part of it. The consolidation, the agenda-driven corporate thing. If you got a corporation that's run by liberals, they're going to want a liberal mindset put out over their properties. Their entertainment properties.
Which is so interesting.
It makes no sense.
So, like, would you say you're a conservative?
Yeah.
But, yeah, some of the stuff you do is very – and this is kind of my whole thing when I'm telling people when I go on the road. I play red states. I'm like, they're all just – they're conservatives, but they're like – they're all swingers, and they just don't want you to take their guns or tax them. It's really – like, filth won the culture war. It won the culture war.
Good
and
point.
You can get fucking weird. Like, the days of, like, people – I mean, there's always always going to be somebody who hates somebody. So you're going to find somebody who hates gays. Most people don't give a fuck.
Don't care.
What you do with adults, do with adults. So you go to these red states and they laugh and then they all want you to bang their wife after or whatever weird shit. Go. You can always tell swingers because they're white chicks in their 40s with like Nazi helmet tits that defy gravity. And you're like, okay, you guys are obviously swingers.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's Florida, Texas, Arizona. So you're a conservative, but the stuff that you did early is a very liberal thing, like sending people to go fuck in a church.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It wasn't something that a normal conservative would.
Right.
I have a lot of conservative ideas and principles and whatnot, but there's a liberal, like, I don't care who aborts what. I don't give a shit about the abortion issue, one way or the other. Go ahead. Take them out of you. Don't take them out. Whatever the fuck you want to do. I don't think it's that big an issue that it comes up every goddamn election as the number one thing. The Supreme Court nominee, abortion. It's going to be crazy. I don't care. I think there's 800 things before abortion that affect everyone's life on a daily basis a lot more than abortion does.
Right.
So I'm conservative, but I'm not like that.
Right.
Where I need, you know, stuff like that. Sexual stuff, again, I don't care what you do. I do have a problem with this bringing drag queens into an elementary school to tell kids that it's part of career day. Yeah. That, I think, is plain and simple indoctrination and trying to make – I have buddies that have kids that are school age. And they go, everyone's gay. Everyone's gay in school now. Not because they're gay, but because they're told it's cool to be gay.
Yeah.
And it's a part of like you're forcing it on kids to look cool and they just want to be part of the crowd and be cool. So they're like, oh, I guess I'm gay. And it's like, nah, you're probably not. But now you're caught up in this and.
Well, there's also, I mean, porn's on your phone now. You've
right.
seen
there's
a thousand dicks in your,
right.
your compared
it's
to
on
your
YouTube.
Grandpa.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen it.
What, porn's on YouTube?
Yeah. I swear, look it up.
Porn
it's on
YouTube.
What, they haven't gotten rid of it yet?
Nope.
Everyone
you literally
gets
just
thrown off of
porn
YouTube.
Is just I mean, dude,
don't take
here's
everybody
how
off
in,
except that.
Here's how in porn is. They're on Pornhub, they're literally running legit ads at the like a YouTube video. They'll run like a Ford truck video
trying to
before
make
you
some
watch
money?
This Waffle House waitress blow these 10 black guys. There'll be a F1-1050 fucking you know, fucking ad going. I guess they just know what the fuck. They're like, screw it. These are eyeballs at this point. You're at your happiest.
Yeah. We got to make some money.
I mean, if you get somebody to jizz after they just watch your video, there's a good chance they're going to want to buy your fucking
You know, it's way cheaper to buy an ad on Pornhub than it is on YouTube.
Oh,
it has to be.
I'm
it has
sure
to
it.
Be. And I bet you get the same amount of eyeballs.
I would guess that's the only way they're making money. I mean, no one buys porn. I've known guys for my entire life. And I know that since the advent of the internet and internet porn, I've never known one that actually bought porn. It doesn't happen. And everything you could possibly want or need is right there on one of the sites. So how the fuck are they making money? And now we know. Truck ads.
Yeah,
and,
truck ads.
And, you know.
Well, you know, that the fact that these tube sites have really devastated the porn industry. Porn stars basically have picked up the comedian like business model,
yeah,
which is like, you know, we put out specials, they do a porno, we tour comedy clubs, they tour strip bars, we do podcasts, they do webcams, we do Patreons, they do OnlyFans, and then you add drug, alcohol, and daddy issues, and it's pretty much the same fucking thing,
very
man.
Very parallel to the porn industry,
right?
Fucking
it's
comic.
Unbelievable, dude.
That's
it's the
male stripper,
shit.
I guess. It's a male stripper, I guess.
Yeah, but it is. I don't know how they make their money. I guess, on ads and live perform, but how do you have a production company that makes porn and go, all right, let's put out that new movie. It's going to be great. We're going to make a fortune. It's like, how would you get paid?
It doesn't anymore.
It doesn't
dude.
Make
you
sense.
You must make. I mean, maybe it's like YouTube, where amount of people watch your videos, you get.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's
there are guys who just like support it, and they're like, I'll pay a membership.
Yeah,
but I can't imagine it's enough to make it a business.
No. The internet has changed. Everything, like to a level I don't even think we appreciate yet. I think we will in hindsight, looking back. I think it's still too new, as a matter of fact, relatively speaking. But I can't think of anything aside from maybe the airplane that has changed society as much as social media and the internet, for bad and good. Mostly bad is what I'm noticing.
Interesting.
This was supposed to be this amazing. If you told people what the internet would be years ago, just the idea of it. An exchange of ideas worldwide, a global community where we can talk and trade opinions and debate. They'd be like, of course, that's an amazing, miraculous Star Trek kind of future that we're looking for. Oh, by the way, it's just going to turn into bullying, anonymous harassment, accessibility to people by literally morons and imbeciles.
Yeah,
fake news.
And it's all that badness and so little of the goodness that come out. I swear the only good thing on the internet that I see on a daily basis are kitten and puppy videos.
Yeah.
And I'm not even kidding.
They're great.
And even those three comments down is fuck Trump and, you know, it goes, oh, what a cute puppy. You shouldn't hold a puppy like that. Fucking Trump.
Yeah.
It's like three comments down. It's still adorable.
Anonymity allows people to tee off.
Oh.
And, I, you know, it's like maybe when you're looking at your porn, you don't want everybody to know your name. Maybe or maybe not. I don't still don't know why it's an issue, dude.
Right.
Why it's – I mean, if you guys are shocked that Dwight Howard bangs trans, you guys don't know a dude who has eight kids by eight women, and he doesn't want any more kids. Best way to do is bang a lady boy. That's the best way not to have number nine.
not getting pregnant.
Yeah. Can't get poop pregnant. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like it makes sense, man. It's just like – I'm for him banging everything because if I want to, I want to bang. I like, why do we want to put limits on what we can do? Why do we want to put limits on these weird fucking things? I'm agreeing with you with the fucking drag queen in a third grade thing. Because, you know, like sex ed isn't about good sex. Like, dude, if you really want to get her off, third graders, lick her asshole, okay?
The mechanics of it.
Yeah, it's like, you do this, babies, that's what's about.
Yeah. It's supposed to be the mechanics of it, the logistics of
it. Just to scare you.
Look at this fucking 6-foot-tall guy in a dress.
Yeah.
I'm quite frankly, I'm surprised the kids don't get more frightened by it. It just it looks very scary, but they sit down and read books to the kids. They're like tranny Dr. Seuss or something. And it's just, I don't know, they're really trying to just force it on these kids.
My opinion is, I don't think it's the trans. I know a fucking bunch of trans. I don't know what that says about me. Probably had a weird coke problem, went down some weird fucking porn runs. But I know they're not assholes. They're not like, gotta get in front of the kids. They're got wicked sense of humors, and they just want to do themselves, you know? It's like these people above, they're just,
in my opinion,
trying to get everybody to fight with each other.
I don't blame any of the people. I don't blame the tranny or the other guy with some weird fetish that wants to because it's the school systems and whoever runs that is putting these people in front of the kids because that upsets the parents. And now they're fighting. Like you said, there just seems to be this thing where everyone needs to be brawling. And it wasn't bad enough. They have to make it worse. And I've never seen the country like this. And social media is a big part of it because it allows us to hate each other more personally.
2013, Obama passes a law, which basically, even though they were doing it before, but legalizes propaganda. Legalizes, allows the government to use propaganda against its own. And that's what you're seeing. So we had this episode two episodes ago where we had this guy on, and we were going to talk about Nick Cage being a time-traveling vampire, right? And how all of his movies are warnings about what the lizard people are up to.
Awesome.
Okay? But we ended up just getting into the state of the union of conspiracies, and it didn't go over well because he's not a big Trump guy. And I want anybody on the show. You don't got to be Trump. You know, tee off on Obama. 2 years in Obama, I was like, oh, we've got lied to by this motherfucker. And I woke up to that. And, you know, there's some shit Trump doing right now. I root for Trump because he's our president.
Yeah.
Just like I root for Obama because he's our president at that point. Even though you may not agree with them, you want them to do well. But the amount of visceral hatred on that episode was really shocking to me.
Really?
Yeah, and then I did another episode right after that, and they were talking about how like AI now, a lot of these comments now are AI. They're just going in there and just trying to fucking muck it up and get people to not all of
it. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, possible that some algorithm can pick out a post and start an argument with it, and it's not even a real person,
right?
It's
and it's just crazy, and it's just like the whole thing is like, You know, the United States is very unique, man. It's like the world economy, for whatever the bankers did, they put it so it runs off of us. And if we actually all came together and stopped fighting with each other, we could actually fucking start running shit.
Oh, yeah.
But they'll never let that happen, so we all got to muck it up.
It's the only thing with conspiracies that I see when is the they. Who are the they? There's this never really an answer. It's a very gray area. And I'm sure that's because they don't want you to know who they are.
Right.
So that's the part that gets people to, like, we want something definitive.
Right.
And I don't think we'll ever get it. You can assume who they are. There are different people who say who they are. And some of that is, you know, racist or anti-Semitic or sexist, even whatever it is. But there does seem to be a larger power that is running things, and it's working perfectly for them right now.
Right, it's so
interesting. We are just destroying each other over what?
Demonizing each other.
Yeah.
These, you know, you're the worst of the worst. You're not even a human being. You're a fucking and if you really take a look at it, like, you know, these redneck, hick, racist scumbags, and you took, like, this gang-banging, like, fucking drug-dealing asshole, and you put them in a room and you talk to them, they probably have the same problems.
Right.
And they feel, like, no power in their lives. They're just trying to fucking figure out, and they're blaming everybody
easier. Yeah.
You know, it's like all these Mexicans are come take your job. Your job went a long way, fucking a dude in a suit in a fucking boardroom, dude.
Right.
That guy fucking, you know, this caravan, which is to me fucking straight up just been paid for coming up here.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy broke down a picture. They saw the woman run.
Just saw that picture and I saw it broken down with the photographers up here. There's another person here being held for like when action is called.
Yeah.
It's so blatantly. And then right there in the foreground is the mother. Two kids in diapers, one with no shoes on. The mother looks like she's wearing one of the kids' shirts.
Yeah.
And there's this distressed look. And it's like, this is too choreographed.
It got paid.
It's scripted.
Yeah.
It got paid. Trump probably paid. So my dad lives in TJ.
Well, either Trump or George Soros, because to be honest with you, it helps
who knows?
Both of them.
They went half and half. But the thing is, the only way the wall is getting built is Americans got to get scared.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so it's either – and why would Mexico let them just swiftly – come in. Because you know –
Mexico's got a wall for El Salvador, right?
Yeah.
They don't let – or whoever's
– Yeah. So the thing is they let them go through knowing that they're not going to get in. United States – the Trump probably paid the president. And they're going to scare Americans.
They're going to
scare Americans. The wall's going to get built. Those people are going to stay in Mexico. But Mexicans are racist. Like I was telling Sam, you know, if you had a kid right now and you go to Mexico, the kid can't go to public school. He ain't Mexican. It's like here. It's not like
everywhere else is racist.
Oh,
except,
of course. Yeah.
But people want to act. And that's a big problem I have with racism in this country. People only act like what matters is in between our borders.
Yeah.
Like every group has blood on their hands, dude. Whether you go to Africa, Latin America, Europe, wherever, there's been war. I mean, there's slave trade going on right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Libya. Obama takes out the Muammar Gaddafi because he wants to get off the petrodollar. They're selling Africans are selling Africans in Libya. Nobody's rapping about it.
No, it's not a big deal.
Jay-Z has not put out one song about slave trades in Libya.
I'm not seeing any hashtags about it.
Nothing.
From Alyssa Milano or anything.
Nothing, dude. And it's
what happened?
It's just fucking chaos. So I want to get into censorship with you because you've definitely felt it. I feel like we're in this weird time now where the left is censoring the right. Because the longest time it was the right to the left. You know, not so much comedy, but just like maybe like art, lifestyles. There was religious censorship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Dark Ages, the Spanish Inquisition. If you didn't do it this way, we're going to fucking take you out. And that was for centuries.
Right.
And now we're entering this kind of weird, like, maybe 5 years in to this where it's going the other way.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, no, you can't say any of this. But it's not even rules that they follow. It's more about rules you can't do. You can't say this. You can't. Oh, a fucking Sarah Silverman's going to do a blackface sketch.
Yeah.
And nobody said.
But she's doing it for comedy. So it's fine. Well, I was doing it. We go, no, you aren't. You're a racist. Oh. So you can do it because you make the rules of who can do it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where we are. It's ridiculous. This wasn't something so long ago. The conservatives were the ones trying to censor. And especially with art. I remember something called Piss Christ. It was the crucifix upside down in a jar of urine with a light shining through it. And it was, you know, some golden light thing. But it was Piss Christ, it was called. So it just, conservatives, religious right, they went nuts. This is not art. There was another one, an elephant dung Virgin Mary.
Yeah, I remember
something.
That.
And
James Wood went nuts.
Yeah, it was crazy. What are you doing this? But that was the conservatives, or at least the religious right, trying to censor art. The censorship that's going on now from the left seems to be a lot more of a power grab than just, we don't like your artwork. That's like, we don't want you to say this because it interrupts with our agenda to do whatever the fuck they're trying to do, which still is a they issue.
Yeah, right.
Like they are trying to stop people from getting ideology out there. And they're doing a pretty good job of it on social media. We're seeing people in the past 6 months, so many conservatives or just open-thinking people that might lean right or go heavy right, have been silenced, and there's no recourse for it. It's amazing. I've been thrown off. I'm off of Twitter. I have a Twitter account that I don't tell anybody what the name is. I don't post on it, really, but even if I do, no one knows. And it's just so I can see the news to do my show every day. Like, right. I follow all the news sites. But they are cutting people out of this grand discussion on Twitter. Twitter happens to be the most popular social media out there. That's Twitter based. I know there's Facebook, but that's a different. Right. He also hears pictures of my family thing.
Right. But Twitter, in news, in terms of real time news,
world
Twitter's
leaders.
Instagram's great for female buttholes, but Twitter is all like.
Yeah. And Trump uses it. All the world leaders use it. Emergency management uses it to put out alerts and stuff. And I shouldn't be privy to that because of my ideology. I should be cut out of the loop where I'm not allowed to be on there anymore and get these. This news, because of my political ideology, it's so fucked up and so one-sided. Farrakhan's on there. For whatever you think of Farrakhan, based on the rules that other people have been thrown off of Twitter, he should have been gone a long time ago.
What about the Asian editor of the New York Times?
Right.
Like, just like blatantly comes out and just shreds white people. And this notion that racism only goes one way, it's ridiculous.
I like that. They make up arbitrary rules.
Just
it's like,
so
well, you're a
fine
racist.
Print.
You can't be racist. Well, who made what?
Oh my God. That?
It's like when you're playing a board game with a child and they start losing and they're like, no, I can do this.
Yeah.
It's like, but the rules. No, I make new rules.
And it's just like, because if they applied the rule to everybody, all their heroes would be taken out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really like political correctness is a tool to take out people they don't like.
Yeah, it's
an
easy way.
It has nothing to do with right or wrong
once
or
you
good
label,
or bad.
Once you label someone, conversation's over. Now the person has to change their debate on defending that they're not an ist or a phobe. And the initial argument goes away. Yay, I won. I called you this. And game over.
And we see Hollywood is like the worst of all of it with hypocrisy. I mean, you had the Oscars in which it was the Me Too Oscar with Kobe getting an award after what happened in Denver. It just makes no sense.
Believe that?
And these girls are all dressed half naked. And they're like, oh, I'm making a stand. And like, dude, all the fucking Me Too scumbags are in that room right now. That's
you're hanging raw meat in front of lions.
All the scumbags, all the nerd dorks that just like it just became this became a beta town where all the betas came and they were all theater dorks in high school and they never knew how to talk to chicks, so they get some power and they just know how to talk to women through watching Japanese anime porn and they think they all want squids in their snatches. And they just fuck, and they don't know how to talk to these fucking chicks.
I talked about that with Aziz Ansari because he was I didn't talk with him. I talked about him because he got in trouble. He was with some girl in his apartment, and it just sounded like it was a date gone bad. Like he was he didn't know what to do. He's with a girl that was with him just because he was Aziz.
You're right.
Usually, I bet you they let him do whatever the fuck he wants. Usually, I highly doubt anyone saying no to him.
But I don't think he ever did anything he wants. He was a nerdy geek. And then he's with this girl, and he puts his fingers down a throat to lube up so he could. It was the most odd description of sex I ever saw. But it's like, that's all these guys. They never got any pussy when they were growing up. They got rich and or famous, but famous. And now they got girls throwing themselves at it, and they still don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So they rape and they use their power to get it. They molest, whatever it is. And then Hollywood is just like, oh, no, they're part of the club.
Yeah.
Here.
We just got to turn our
– you know, club.
All these people, whether it's Weinstein, Cosby, all these people.
Yeah.
They all knew it fucking was happening.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
For fucking ever. And they didn't say anything, but when so, and you know what the Me Too was? They really wanted to see if they could get anybody on the right, and it ended up not happening.
It's all the left, all the entertainment people are lefties. I don't know.
Hey, Chris Hardwick gets pulled into this fucking thing, and you're like, she just thought he was a bad boyfriend.
Bad boyfriend. That was it. It had he did nothing that could be looked at as abusive or anything. He was maybe a bad boyfriend. I just heard her side. And he gets thrown off his show. Thank God he got that back. But 99% of the time, that doesn't happen. You don't get your shit back. You're cast out as a piece of shit. And that Hollywood community they embrace all these scumbags, and they're the first ones that want to cast judgment. And
one of the best moments in radio is Louis C.K. talking to Donald Rumsfeld and asking him if he's a lizard person, is. I remember hearing that going, dude, this guy is fucking fearless, dude. And it's what is your whole take on that whole situation? I know he's a friend of yours. He's done your show a million times. What's your take on that and how the resistance to him even just trying to come back?
Right.
And, you know, it's like I'm a huge animal lover. And like when Michael Vick came back, I go, listen, man, I don't like what he did to those dogs. It fucking disgusts me.
Yeah.
But we need to know if he's changed. And the only way to do that is to give him a second chance to go up there and show. And if he does it again, he's fucking done, dude.
Valid point. Yeah, yeah.
So my whole thing with Louis C.K. is like, listen, dude, I mean, like, I know the girls he did it to. I've had that done to me. I was at UNLV as a freshman, walked into a library. This giant black guy is just fucking whacking his dick. And you're like, oh, Jesus Lord. What's that? And I just froze and I ran. I get that moment. But and I know the girls, but within a spectrum of what we are talking about when you have Cosby and Weinstein and all these fucking scumbags,
yeah.
Now he pops up and he kind of gets.
Yeah, he got sucked into the undertow of all that kind of thing. I think Louis, I've known Louis a few years. We've had conversations on and off the air. He's got some strange sexual proclivities. He likes jerking off in front of women. I don't know it. I don't get it, but that's what he enjoys doing.
I like being called the N-word in bed. I don't know what it is, dude.
Well,
I banged this Mexican chick. She started calling me the N-word. And it's such a weird thing to ask chicks. Hey, do you mind calling me the N-word?
I would assume it would be taken aback.
But you're asking, just like he did. You're asking.
He asked.
That's all that mattered.
I haven't heard one story of Louis just taking his dick out in front of a girl that didn't know. Like, he would ask, hey, do you mind if I do this?
And if not, they give you enough to fucking walk out the door.
Right, yeah,
it's not like you walked in on it. Like, he just said, I walked in on it.
The door wasn't locked.
Yeah,
he didn't lock people into that hotel. I know the story with those girls and stuff. And I believe at the time, pre-Me Too, pre-all this bullshit, I don't think it was that big a deal to them at the time. When you look at something from 10, 20 years ago in today's ridiculous bullshit ethical moral haze that we're living in, almost everything's bad. Almost everything was some terrible misdeed that you did to somebody. It was harassment. It was sexual harassment.
Everything Trump says right now isn't as bad as if Obama said it or George Bush
said
it.
Yeah, years ago.
I used to have a thing where I was making out with a chick. I used to ring her doorbell. You reach down, you ring the doorbell, and that's a sign whether they want you to come in or not. That's like a no-go. You can't ring doorbells anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think ringing the bell would...
It wouldn't fly anymore.
That's not flying.
And I think, like, a lot of these female comics, it's really hard to date anybody now in the scene because you just don't know when shit's going to turn wrong. We've seen
5-10 years it could go bad. And based on what? Because in 10 years from now, something that's completely normal and accepted now becomes this awful thing. How are you supposed to know? We crystal ball. How are you supposed to know in 20 years what you did that everyone was doing and was fine is now going to be a problem?
Yeah. And it's weaponized.
Yes.
And what we've seen here is going back to censorship and political correctness is these people are weaponizing these things, not because they care. Maybe they do care a little bit. I'll take that back a little. But it's all about helping their careers, getting exposure, getting opportunities, diversity showcases, fucking writing gigs on shit. That's why nobody cares about pedophilia in this town. Nobody cares about pedophilia. You can't spin that into a writing gig. You can't spin that into a pedophile's fucking showcase for fucking the industry. None of that shit. And nobody fucking cares.
And there are stories. There are so many stories of how it's just rampant in this community. And testimony, witness testimony from former child stars against people. And for some reason, this should be the biggest story in Hollywood. It should be a blowout, investigations, all kinds of stuff. And they just go like, let's, like the Catholic Church. They just kind of, let's keep it just under the surface, please.
What's your take? Pedophilia is obviously a fucking rampant, disgusting thing. And it's like Penn State didn't lose a minute of football time.
No, they
not a minute on the fucking, not a minute of halftime they lost. Nothing.
They had at least one guy, Sandusky, in there just on a molestation spree. And people knew about it.
The Board of Education was pimping kids out.
They knew it. And allegedly did nothing about it. So, I mean, why? Yeah, Penn State is very lucrative school, and their football team is very important to their school. So you don't fuck with it. You fire the guy. He goes to prison. Everyone goes, "Oh, that was terrible." But then again, like Hollywood, sitting out at an award show, they all look and go, "Oh, all you fucks are guilty. You all are." How does any of these bullshit Me Too actresses get up on a stage, look at that audience, and know that they're all somehow all involved, yet they just, and we need to do something. It's like, you're full of shit. The cover's been ripped off, by the way. The cover's been ripped off of everything. I think Trump is a huge part of how the cover was ripped off media and Washington and Hollywood. And there's no just covering up because a star we all drool over says it's okay. Now we're looking going, no, I think you're full of shit. And we're treating the mainstream media that way and politicians in D.C. And I think that's great.
No trust in the mainstream media. Their numbers are not – you'd say a million people, which is great. I know podcasts that get 2, 3, 4 million. So when CNN gets a million with that kind of budget,
it
means
nothing.
Fucking nothing.
It's nothing.
Dude, the media, the social media, Facebook is just disintegrating.
Dying right there on the vine.
40 million people logging off, deleting their thing.
Yeah.
Twitter's taking a giant beating. Now you have government looking in to get regulation, which some people are for. I don't know, man. I mean,
I don't know either. That's where I am. I don't know. I am 100%. I don't like government regulation. Stay out of my shit. I tell a story. I've told a story many times about the project it was to remove a goddamn tree from my yard. The amount of money and all that shit. I don't want that regulation. If I want to cut a fucking tree down in my yard, I want to do it like Pa Ingalls on Little House on the Prairie. I want to get an axe and chop the fucking tree down. Now, though, like something like this, and I use this as an example all the time. If I'm on the phone, Verizon, and I call my brother and we have a conversation, and then Verizon calls me and goes, "I don't like the conversation you had with your brother. We're not giving you service anymore." They can't do that. They're a regulated business. Now, I think at the beginning, Twitter was just kind of a message board. It's become something though. It's a utility and needs some form of oversight where they can't arbitrarily throw people off. That's all I'm looking for. Not content. I don't want the government saying, "Well, you can't write this." Like, I don't want them governing what you can and can't do. They just need to make it where a voiceless, faceless entity can't decide whether or not I can be part of the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I think people understand that hate speech isn't right, But, I mean, you can't pick and choose where you apply
no,
shit.
It's too arbitrary.
How about you just block these people? There's this notion that, like, I have to sit there and let people in the chat boards fucking tee off on me. And, yeah. Well, that's a part of being an artist. Really?
No.
Because Frank Sinatra never went through that. Sammy Davis Jr. never went through that. They never had people just teeing off on them.
Right.
Why do I have to sit there and take? I'm giving you free content. I don't need to sit here and take your fucking vicious attacks
blocked.
For no fucking... Good.
Oh, look, censorship. You're blocked. Why would I? It's almost like listening to an old radio station and retuning it when you hear static. Oh, you don't want to just listen to the static? Those people are static to me, and I try to tune them out.
The FCC has kind of been like that for a while, right? There was like, you guys might do something, then Oprah might do the same thing, and there was no fucking punishment for Oprah.
Right.
Yet you guys would get lit up, and here it's this fucking picking and choosing where you would apply these rules.
Yeah, they would people would complain to the FCC. They would then investigate it and look at a transcript of the show, which is the worst thing you could do. It gives no context to the conversation. And say, well, this is breaking FCC rules and regulations. And then the lawyers for the radio station would litigate it with the FCC. They usually settle, give them a donation, not a fine, because they love saying, we've never had to pay a fine. They paid millions in donations to the FCC. Another one of these underhanded bullshit
arrangements. Everything's a bribe.
But then Oprah would say something or another talk show or host, and it would be like, well, no, this was done educational purpose. It's like, who gives a shit what it was done? We're doing it as a joke for fun. It's the same language. But because she's doing it under this guise of education, it's an entertainment show. Oprah's not educating people. It's entertainment. So that got frustrating as hell. But now the FCC is fucking cute. It's quaint.
Yeah.
It's nothing now. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
It's the people on social media that can say, you said this. Put a recording up there, and all of a sudden, now you're the biggest piece of shit on the face of the earth.
And their whole argument is that we are a private company. We could do whatever we want. You're not a private company. You're publicly traded. And on top of that, you got seed money directly from fronts for the CIA who gave you giant fucking endowments to get off the ground. You came from the U.S. government. You're probably an extension of the U.S. government. These blue checks are just fucking astroturfing. This person's got blue check, and they got this AI shit where this person just knows. They see certain words. They're like, oh, yeah, this guy is always tweeting something. We like, retweet, retweet, retweet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a private company at all.
No, it's not. It's like you said, publicly traded. And in essence, it's a public company. It's supposed to be there as this, I don't know what it actually started as, but isn't it supposed to be an open exchange of ideas and whatever, humor, whatever it is? And it's just not that now. It is a propaganda machine. This thing is putting out information, only allowing one side. And we've seen people over the past few weeks, Laura Loomer got thrown off, Jesse Kelly, I think, just got thrown off. Gavin McInnes has been off for a while. He got thrown off. Myself, I'm gone. Alex Jones, gone. Like, it's all one side of the group here.
But I even think it's deeper than one side. I think it's the group of people who question the power authority from the right. Meaning, it's not just like, oh, hey, I hate lefties, but it's like, dude, look at this fucking bill that just got passed. It takes away our privacy. Or, dude, why are we in? It's like this. It's the power to authority that they say is, oh, we're getting rid of the right. No, you're getting rid of people who are questioning the operation of what's going on with this very corrupt government.
Interesting, because the last few people that have been kicked off, and I think Ben Shapiro has been trying to use the same language that got other people thrown off to see how ballsy Twitter would be to remove him, is saying that men are men and women are women. There's two genders based on your chromosomes, and that's it. You have a penis, a vagina, that's it. And people have been getting thrown off just for stating that as being some type of phobic. And so he's been doing that. But that makes good sense. That is part of the operation.
Yeah.
That is part of this thing that needs to be perpetuated. So if you challenge that, you need to go.
Right? About the fucking – the Clintons and all the evil shit that they're up to in this – this, you know, I hear people like, if you have a problem with fucking, you know, Dianne Feinstein and Clinton and blah, 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 it probably has more to do with you women. Well, we voted in more women than we've ever voted in any time in any election the last midterm. That argument is like really fucking old and it doesn't apply today. Okay. You're sexist by thinking these women can't be evil.
Mm-hmm.
And defending a woman who is just like, people keep talking about emails. She should hope the only thing they care about is those fucking emails and being on a private server. What was going on Anthony Weiner's laptop is so fucking offensive that the NYPD, they were saying they were crying when they saw what was on there.
Jesus.
Right? So you got this fucking, so then people calling these people out, all of a sudden now they're getting kicked off Twitter. They're calling people for like fucking pedophilia, child sex trafficking, like this Nexium cult that just got busted. That, you know, this is how the media works. They'll put out something that says, hey, they're busted for sex trafficking. No, they're busted for child sex trafficking.
Uh-huh.
That, I mean, both are bad.
One is way worse. Yeah.
But why are you leaving that out? And then people push back. Oh, stop it, man. So I was like, no, dude, it's right there in the court papers, dude. Why are you co-signing on this bullshit?
A lot of headline readers out there that think they can get into a debate with you based on nothing but having read the headline. They don't do any research. They don't look into things. And then when you hit them with actual facts, they'll just turn around and call you a racist or something or a sexist and conversation over. That seems to be the lifespan of every Twitter argument I've ever been in.
So if it's going to turn into a public utility thing, don't you think there'll just be a new Twitter? Just like there's a Reddit and a 4chan, it'll just kind of be like, we got to
get a little more underground or deep. Yeah.
But you want to have you need a place of commerce, right? You need a place where like everybody goes for commerce, where like the Janes and the Joes, your middle America people, go there and you can get them to come and be, you know, follow your brand. But yeah, you always have the underground Reddit. Reddit's kind of like the shady ass one, but Reddit's got these like, these weird fucking, what am I looking for? Like people just go around and regulate and you don't even know who they are. You can't even click on their when they tell, oh, you violated this group. And you're like, what, you look up what it is. They never tell you what it is.
Oh, no, that's just it. No one ever really tells you what you did wrong.
And you're like, what the fuck am I, why am I getting, you know, I'm in Reddit jail for fucking a month or 2 months. I just got told now I couldn't comment. What did I do? I just didn't even comment on anything. It's just this weird kind of invisible hand that's very dark, dark, dark. I know that Israel's doing a lot of like AI shit. If there's anything questioning Israel and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
You know, and you could love Israel, not love, but that becomes a form of censorship. And on top of that, I know government outside of this government that is doing the fucking censorship and all that stuff.
Yeah, people don't realize it's a worldwide thing. It's not just, Twitter isn't just America.
It's not. It's being, everywhere.
And it's influencing the world. I like that about Twitter. Make your own Twitter and make your own this or that or anything. It's like Twitter is the Coca-Cola of social media at this point. You can make another platform like Gab has done, but you're never going to get the exposure that you get on Twitter. Donald Trump is on Twitter. And then they go, well, make your own. And it's like, what am I supposed to do? Start stringing fiber optic cables?
Yeah.
To people's houses, because then above that is the distribution. Above that is the infrastructure. So there's always going to be someone that could pull the fucking plug on you.
You got to go to market to sell your goods.
Right.
I could set up my fucking selling corn in the middle of a field, but if no one's going there,
no one's
going to buy the fucking corn.
Yeah, yeah. Do exactly what you're doing now without the mic out on the street.
Yeah.
You're still doing a show. Still doing a show, but, you know, maybe if you needed a mic and this and it goes out onto the internet, then you're talking to people.
tell us about Compound Media, because I remember talking to Rogan. He was talking like you were one of the first to do podcasting.
Yeah, it was
like, way back in
years
the
ago, man. I as a hobby, I was with Sirius XM satellite radio, and I liked the visual medium. I noticed a lot of the O&A shows we started, and a lot of other shows started watching videos on the radio. You're watching a video and you're like, oh, this is Two Girls, One Cup or something. It's like, oh, this
Man,
is happening and this.
They
and-
fucked up. They should have gotten a PA agent and wrote a book and toured off
right?
that shit. Where are they, man?
Viral sensation.
The big most watched video of all time.
Of all time.
They should have been on tour,
gone.
Comedy, the Two Chicks, One Cup comedy Just tour on Netflix.
Gone like the fucking, you know, the kid that
Where are they
did
now?
His brother's finger video.
Where are they now?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Compound Media, I started doing shows from my basement. I built a studio in my basement, kind of piecemeal over the course of time. I was like, people are watching videos. I want the opportunity to do a video show from my house where I could play clips. And I wanted it to look like a news program because I really wanted it to look professional. But I wanted the host to be just drunk and rambling on about shit because that – that whole contrast is hilarious to me. So I got the best equipment and built this studio in my basement. And every so often at night, I turn it on. I do drunk karaoke. I would go into the studio part and play clips from the news and just rail on society and politics and entertainment and everything like that.
Peer to peer.
And yeah, and it was great. It was cool. It was fun. I loved doing it. And I started noticing, yeah, people like Joe Rogan picked up on it and was like, fuck, if you can do that. Like, it's so obvious once you realize it's like, oh, I could just do that. I could just grab a mic and a camera, whatever, and put it out there and you know, get right to the people without having to get hired by some company. So, yeah, it was very early on, and I saw the potential in it. But as long as I was with SiriusXM, I couldn't really expand on it. They actually started giving me shit during one of the contract negotiations.
Dude.
They're like, hey, we have you exclusively and you're giving away this content. I'm like, give it. It's my basement. I'm doing what I would normally do, but a camera's on there.
they try to control and you just can't control.
That's
Art
it.
Will find a way, dude.
Yeah.
Art will find a way. So I want to talk about, because I remember when the shit hit the fan and you ended up leaving Sirius Radio, and it was involved a woman on the streets, a black chick. Is that what caused the end of it? Basically, you and this interaction you had with this black
chick?
Yeah,
it was tweets. I
about
I,
her. And
I
she,
tweeted
I thought
about
she, like,
the event
I remember
that
going,
night.
I think she's attacking him.
Yeah.
But you're the bad guy.
It was an assault on me. I tweeted about it. And they were like, oh, well, that's – I didn't like your – they said they didn't like my tone, my violent tone of my tweet.
You just got attacked.
So it wasn't even a thing about race or anything. They just didn't like that I was angry. I had just been attacked. I walked away from it without inflicting any injury or violence or anything. I walked away and went to my apartment and decided I'll tweet about it. But words being more powerful than actions these
For
days.
For sure.
I didn't realize, you know, that being angry after you were assaulted was something you shouldn't do. So that was that. But I always say I'd have been fired five more times after that.
Do you was it getting weird up to that moment? Were you butting heads with Sirius at that point?
Yeah. At that point, we were. We were kind of pissed off because we weren't really able to do anything. We weren't getting good guests because of Howard. You know, Howard would put the kibosh on us getting guests that had done his show. And if they're in the building that day, they're doing Howard. And we'd be like, oh, we'd like to have them over on our show. And it's like, no, well, they're gone. And they left after Howard. But I didn't even really care about that. I was just, if me and Jimmy could sit there and laugh our balls off, that was good by me. And then me and Opie, our relationships really started going south. So it wasn't even so much that SiriusXM wanted to get rid of me. I honestly think Opie was kind of thinking, maybe I should do this myself. So I think it helped push it along and gave him all a good excuse to blow me out the door there.
Jesus.
Yeah. Fucked up. And I knew that Jimmy and Opie wouldn't last long because Opie's not an easy guy to work with. Not an easy guy to work with. Jimmy's great. He's hilarious. But I knew, like, their personalities just would not work together. And a year later, that was done.
How do you think Patrice O'Neill would handle today's kind of political correctness. You know, his clips still resonate.
It's good.
Almost like old Bill Hicks, you know, bits. You're like, dude, that fucking plays right now, and it totally it totally fits right now.
The thing is, you'd never know what he would have said or thought. That was the greatest thing about Patrice. I'd sit there and talk to him about something and be planning my next comeback statement to him, you know, and go, I got him. And then he'd twist it and turn it, and I'd be like, oh, my God, I got nothing. I got nothing. He just won. He got it.
Where'd you guys meet?
On the show. He was a guest on the O&A show, came in, and me and him would just have such great in-depth conversations about everything, society, entertainment, race would come up, of course. But it wasn't your typical white guy, black guy race thing. You know, Patrice would be hilarious, and everything was funny. Like, he could really seriously break a topic down, but you'd be laughing your ass off, too. The guy was – I was just asked the other day where would I put Patrice in comics, like of the greats? And I go, right up there. I go, you just didn't live long enough to be one of those. Elephant in the Room is one of the greatest comedy specials ever. That guy could take the audience and use the audience to make them laugh at themselves. Like, I've never seen anyone do that.
He is fearless.
It was like a mystery theater with a twist to it, and he'd tell a joke, and meanwhile, you're telling yourself the punchline. And it was astounding to me. Just a brilliant, funny guy. But these days, God knows. We saw it very beginning when he was on the Fox News show about what's
so
funny
great. And
censorship. And it's so goddamn funny because he just unleashes. He starts describing the angry pirate and the donkey punch on Fox News. And they're horrified. They're horrified. And he's just laughing his ass off. He had some feminist on. He's like, what do you know about funny?
Critics love telling comics what funny is, even though they can never go up.
Yeah, they aren't up there. They're not making funny. They're not making people laugh. But apparently they know what makes people laugh. So we should absolutely listen to them.
They think there's rules of this shit, man.
There's no rules. That's just it.
Stick and move.
No fucking rules.
Now, we'll wrap it up here. Permanently suspended. Where can they find it?
Any bookstore, Barnes & Noble's, Borders, Borders.com, BarnesandNobles.com, CompoundMedia.com. And CompoundMedia.com, if you use the code, what is that, Compound20? Compound20, you get 20% off a subscription.
What can they expect in this book, you know? I mean...
It's a lot of my life. Most of it is based on my radio career. So it's early on working for a living, doing air conditioning and heating, and then making that transformation to radio and having a radio career 20 years with Opie and now 5 years on my own with Compound Media. So it's a lot of that stuff. There's some really twisted stuff in there about my horrific record with relationships and stuff drinking and partying with my dad when I was 14 out in California, losing my virginity out there to some 19-year-old girl. And
how old were you?
I was 13 at the
time.
And the story is really hilariously awkward. And there's a bunch of those weird little stories in there that...
How did women handle... your time on the radio when you guys were, you know, just going for it? Like, if you have girlfriends, they'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, there were a couple of instances where it was like that. Mostly when I was married early on in Boston. I was married at the time. And much like Aziz Ansari, you know, girls aren't really clamoring for that tin knocker from Long Island. So when we started getting some heat and getting some popularity, and we were doing these club appearances where, you know, come out to Club Cadillac, we'll be out there partying. And girls were coming up, and now they're showing interest. It was a tough thing to not crack under the pressure. But a lot of on-the-air things, we'd have naked girls come in and all the usual shock jock stuff.
That was such a great time, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Like, shock jock time.
If you had naked chicks, people would be like, so degrading.
Yeah,
it's just like, what are we doing, dude? What are we doing?
Yeah, yeah. And
this
it was
fun.
Sometimes the wife would get pissed at.
Oh, would she get pissed if you had naked chicks on?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You'd be like, it's just for the show, babe.
We'd have these shows where we called the Blue Tarp Cabaret, and we spread one of those blue tarps on the floor, grabbed a bunch of canned goods, and had two girls get naked and just wrestle around in that. No. There's no logic, rhyme, or reason as to why they're doing this, but they just did it, and it was great. And very early on, I'm talking, this was 1998 or 97, I would take digital pictures with this giant archaic digital camera and upload them to a website. This was unheard of. So people that night could see what we were doing that day in the studio.
That was a quick turnaround.
I was so into it, though. And I even started doing video. I would put video of these girls in the 90s. And
on what? What was it?
It was. It was this.
What was it on? ColecoVision?
It was on online. It was a website we had, 8-bit? Which was TAAC, I think, TAAC.com, and it was a server that I learned everything I needed to know. I had to do HTML to make the website.
Look at
and,
you, dude.
And I put it on there. I got a bill 1 month, $12,000 from the server company because I didn't know you couldn't compress video back then. So all the information I was sending out in bandwidth, it worked out to be 12 grand. I was like, I can't do this. And the company's like, We get a lot of people that don't know that there's this part of it that you have to pay, so we'll let it slide this time.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. But after that, I learned how to compress video and things like that. But
these kids have it so easy, man.
I know. Back then, it was a tough thing to do, and it wasn't streaming by any stretch of the imagination.
You had to earn it.
Yeah, yeah. And I would take the videos of the I would put in the effort to take videos of the girls because there was a shower at that studio, so the girls had a shower off after the show. So I would videotape them washing each other in the shower and post that as extra bonus material that wasn't on the radio. And again, this was in the 90s, so people ate it up, and it definitely boosted our popularity.
For sure, man.
I think it was the ONA show was the right time, the right place. It was just
those were real fans. Those were real fans. Yeah, that takes a while to download back.
Oh,
in the
it
day.
Took
remember?
Forever.
Yeah, you'd have to let it download overnight, watch it in the morning.
The clips were literally 8 seconds long. They were quick 8-second clips.
Do you think
That's
a show could doing that could resonate today, or is it just oversaturation? Is there, like, you remember when bimbos were the bimbo was special? There was
special.
That one.
Right.
I remember growing up in high school, there's this one chick, she was filthy, the girls hated her, the boys loved her.
Stupid.
But she had her one thing, right? Now it just seems like everything's
everyone's a bimbo.
Yeah, and it just seems like my brother runs strip bars. He's like, it's a dying industry. I go, yeah, because these girls go to nightclubs dressed like these strippers.
That's
now.
It. I tell you, it was shock jock, shock radio back then. Pick up your phone. Tell me if talking about a girl's tits on radio is shocking anymore.
No.
It's gone. You want to be shocked? I could watch beheading videos. I could watch the most crude, ridiculous sexual sexploits ever. You're not shocking anyone anymore. So it's quaint. It's
the
cool.
The production value of dog porn has gone fucking skyrocketing, dude.
And you're going to shock someone by going, oh my God, she's in her bra and panties in our studio.
Yeah.
It's so silly now to even think. But at the time, it was. We were just last night, me and Missy over here, we were going to a restaurant. And we passed by the Hustler store.
Yeah.
And three girls are walking in. They were high school girls.
Oh.
These were fucking high school girls walking in to buy stripper clothes. And we're just laughing, going, yeah. And that's exactly what you're talking about. There's no more bimbo.
Yeah,
They're all going in, buying stripper clothes. They're dressed like fucking. They're putting on crazy amounts of makeup. And they're all like that. So who are you shocking?
But maybe you had a little part of doing all that, man.
I hear you.
His book is permanently suspended. Thank you, Anthony, for coming on. I really appreciate
man.
It, dude.
Love it.
It was a fun conversation. I look forward to having you on my podcast tomorrow. And, dude, it was great. Thanks so
very
much.
Cool,
I'm a big
man.
Fan, dude.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And we'll see you guys, dude. Grab my special, Zero Fucks, live from the Viper Room. Vimeo.com/on-demand/ZeroFucks. And we'll see you guys soon. Take care, everybody.